We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD, if you want to follow me on Twitter. And it's Tuesday, April 4th. MLB season heating up. It's heating up. Contest yesterday didn't do so well. Didn't do so hot yesterday. But the process has been getting much more streamlined. We'll be going over some MLB DFS stuff. If you got questions, I got answers, post them in the YouTube chat, or you could email them in. Questions@theoryofdfs.com. That's what this show is all about. Unstructured learning. If you want a structured version, you just go to the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports 15-hour audio DFS masterclass or the Advanced Players Guide, which includes custom Excel tools, which I will be showing off on the show. Throughout the course of the season, to show how I use them to compare lineups, narrow down stuff, trim portfolios, simulate lineups against each other, stuff like that. Although in MLB DFS, a lot of times you'll find that like 5,000 lineups are about the same as each other, as I constantly stay on this show. But you give me those thummy thumbs if you don't want to get this. If you don't want to go to theoryofdfs.com. And get either of the two masterclasses or the Excel tools, hit the thumbs up button. That helps us out also. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. Programming note, tomorrow and Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, we got early afternoon MLB slates. So this show will be preempted by MLB Grinders Live, which I will be on. It'll be me and Dean. So you'll still see me in the morning. You'll still see me 11:30, whenever in the morning, but it won't be on this show. You'll see the thumbnail. You'll see my face, right? If you subscribe to the Roto Grinders YouTube channel, so just be aware. You won't see a pregame show thumbnail. You will see a Grinders Live thumbnail. So that will be Wednesday. That will be Thursday. And then Friday, we'll talk about the MMA slate for UFC 287. Is it 287? It's one of those numbers. We'll be talking about that on Friday, but MLB, what do you guys want to know? Let me look through the YouTube chat. We got the early birds, Wataz, Suki Singh. They're here. Good morning. Real life pitcher. Good morning. Bart B. Good morning. Doug Montgomery says that he's looking at FanDuel. Obviously not. I mean, we don't have starting lineups in, right? Obviously projections will change a bit. He is a chalk starting pitcher in a 4-4 stack with Boston as chalk and Cleveland is low owned. The 1-3 rule blender. Yeah, that sounds pretty good, right? Typically, you don't want to combine them all together. I'm assuming if you're playing a GPP, a decently sized GPP, right? You don't want to play. Remember the two lineups, two types of lineups. that are bad, that are objectively bad, that are negative EV, are going to lean towards being too high owned or too low projected. So if you're playing a lineup that's in the middle of that, that's not too low projected and not too high owned, you're probably building a plus EV lineup. A&S Comedy says, does RG offer tiers projections? I like hopping in tiers and would love to streamline the lineup process. I mean, you just use the same projections. Do we have the tiers slates in here? So you could, I'm not sure. Yeah, we have MLB tiers. Yeah, we do. Pick them right here. I can switch them over, right? MLB tiers. I mean, it's the same projection, right? The projection source doesn't change other than just you get the tiers, right? And now you could click on all these. I mean, if you're playing like cash games or something in tiers, I mean, basically all you'd be doing is taking the highest, right? What's the highest in every tier, right? Acuna, and, right, let's, Acuna, then Alvarez, and then Guerrero, and then Arozarena, barely, and then Bichette, and then Bobby Witt Jr. That would be the tiers for cash game purposes, but for GPPs you probably want to stack, right? If you're playing tiers, so that's why if you look here, it's like if we would just plug it, you don't even have to play pitchers, right? So obviously the you get Guerrero, Bichette, right? If we take a look here under the Guerrero one, the Guerrero projects way higher. I mean, high enough, a point and a half higher than Tucker. So if you were to play like Toronto, I mean, they're the highest team total team, so that makes sense, right? So who do we have on Toronto, right? All positions, right? You have Guerrero, Bichette, and Springer, right? We have some Philly, Yankees, Tampa Bay 2, right? Because you don't get all the teams, right? St. Louis, Houston, you get 4 on Houston, right? So if you wanted to play Houston, you got 4 guys. I mean, that's typically what you want to build in tiers. I mean, assuming if you're playing GPPs, that'll probably be popular. All right, Toronto, you got 3. So you'd play 3 Toronto. Well, you can't play 3 Toronto because Bichette and Springer are on the same tier. So, I mean, maybe the best lineup here for tiers for a GPP is to play, right, all of this. Right, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then who's in tier 1 and tier... Let's go tier 1. We got Atlanta, New York, Boston, Baltimore. We got 2 Boston guys here. Yoshida and Verdugo. No, they're both in tier 6. Oh, we got Devers. So you could play like Devers, Braves, Yankees, Red Sox, Orioles. Okay, you could play Rizzo. You play Albies. Okay, so you have a 2-man stack that you could put in here, right, with 4 Houston. But that's how you play tiers. If you're playing GPP, you essentially, you know, want to correlate. As much as you, I mean, you're not going to be able to do your 5-man stacks, probably. But I mean, but some of these teams, they only have one-offs available. Like Joey Meneses as a one-off. Like you're probably not going to do that. You're going to play 3-3, 4-2, 3-2-2, or something, you know, something like that. If you were to play tiers for GPPs. But for cash games, it's just like, take the highest projected lineup, and there you go. Not that complicated. But yes, we do offer, I mean, the projections are the same. It doesn't matter. You could use the projections for tiers, regardless of it not being in lineup HQ, as a slate. I mean, you could just literally go to the main DK slate and just compare the projections to each other. Right? Because there's not many people in a tier, right? It's like, oh, 6 players. Who has the highest projection? There you go. There's your double up head-to-head type of thing. But yes, in tiers, you should be just like in NFL. I mean, I saw that in NFL also when people play the GPPs in tiers. It's like, dude, if you're playing Patrick Mahomes, you're playing Travis Kelce, and you're playing Juju Smith-Schuster in your lineup. I mean, and a lot of times in tiers in NFL, you get to play 2 quarterbacks. So a lot of times what you're doing is whatever 2 quarterbacks you take, you're stacking them with 2 of their teammates in the other tiers, and then probably not playing like the running, but the non-pass catching running back with them or something. But that's how you should be building your tiers lineups, especially in baseball, The correlation's so much higher. So yeah, ANS Comedy does say, so many people don't stack in tiers wild. I'm going to play it more. So yeah, go do, you found an edge. Go exploit it. I mean, we saw the yesterday. We talked about like that first day in MLB, and also Sports Underscore Projections posted yesterday that like still that in these large field GPPs, like 35% of lineups don't have stacks. Don't have at least a four-man stack. Those are all the bad. Those are bad lineups. Those are all the bad lineups, or more likely to be bad lineups. So in tiers, if you're finding that so many people are playing just in GPP formats, 1-1-1-1-1, yeah, just sure, go and stack. I don't know how much volume you can get down in tiers, but especially on a smaller bankroll, yeah, find the edges and exploit them. That's the whole concept of that. I mean, that's what I teach here. There's so many edges, right? But you're only one person. So the smaller the bankroll you have, and the smaller the amount of time that you have, you should be focused on the biggest edges that you could get. You'd rather have $50 in a great edge than, you know, $500 in smaller. Like, dude, if you're spending $100-$200 a slate, you should be able to get in DFS. Amongst all the sites, right? Amongst all the standard fantasy formats. So basically DraftKings, FanDuel, Yahoo, maybe. If you have $300, you should be, if you have $100, you should be able to get that $100 in good. I mean, really good. Really good. I mean, like 15%+ ROI good, if not more. Like you should be able to find head-to-head opponents that, you know, rando people that play lineups that are awful, 12 points lower projected for no reason against you, right? You should be able to find an overlay, right? Contests 1 minute before lock, double up 11 out of 20, $5 double up, $11, $1 double. I mean, I can't see the smaller ones. But a $5 double up, 11 out of 23. There's 20 seconds left and fills like 14 out of 23. Like you should be able to, if you have $100, $200 even, you should be able to get that in so good. Like so good, if that's your cap. So good. And then once you start adding stuff like Prize Picks, underdog, prop betting, like, dude, how do you not get $100 in good? Like really good. I mean, look, this morning, Hayden Wisniewski, Prize Picks posted a 5 strikeout line. It's now down to 4.5. But the bat still has it at the bat's projection is 4.23 currently. Right, depending on obviously the lineup that may change or something. So if you got it at 5, I mean that's great. I got it at 5. I was able to paired him with the German Marquez, who the bat has at 4.07 with a 4.5, more or less, right? That's what they call it on Prize Picks. You have to pair them together. But if you were able to get that earlier today, the Wisniewski prop on Prize Picks or on any sports book or something, like you got it in good. You got it in real good. Even if it's $20, right? Most of the people that watch this show, you know, aren't playing on 100,000 six figure type bankrolls, right? I mean, on a normal MLB day, I have 2,000 to 4,000 in play between DFS and props. I don't mind pushing smaller edges then because if I have the bankroll for it, fine, I'll push a 2% edge here and a 4% edge there. But, you know, $200? Like, dude, you shouldn't even, like, oh, well, I'm going to get $2 here and $2 here. No, find the biggest edges and just push them as hard as possible. And depending on the day, they may be different edge. They may be different. ANS Comedy is like, I'm going to go after these tiers GPPs. I'll go for it. Maybe you only get $30 down. That's fine. And then move on, then go to something else and go, I'm going to get $30 down there. I'm going to find some rando head-to-heads in the turbo slate. I'm going to go look. Oh, there's a $10 head-to-head posted by someone without a badge. Okay. That may be the only lineup you play on that turbo slate. And you just go to the bat projections or something, and you run the optimal lineup and say, go run me down. And there's another $10 there. Then you go and you look on Yahoo, you look on FanDuel, you look on whatever, Underdog, whatever it is. The smaller the bankroll you have, the smaller volume that you play, you should be able to get it in so good. And then you build your bankroll from there. Like, it's really not that hard. And I've said it multiple times on this show. I didn't just wake up with a six-figure bankroll. I didn't wake up with it. October 2015, I deposited $400 on DraftKings. That's it. That's it. That's all it was from there. Literally that was it. I could have reloaded, right? I could have, you know, added money. I had disposable income, right? I had a job. So $400 wasn't technically my bankroll. I was just, $400. And let's learn how to play this game. Is there an edge here? And I played a break even for like good four months. It was like, up and then down and up, but like kind of break even-ish. And then learning through content like this, that gets built up to over $500,000. If you count the props and anything, maybe over $600,000 over the past, 7 years? I mean, the journey there, there's ups and downs throughout all of that. But when you're playing with small amounts of volume, like, don't just go in and every day, I normally play this contest and I normally play, unless the contests are good edge contests. And you're like, nope, I play the 121 pretty much. If I'm playing an MLB classic slate, I play the 121. The single entry battery 121 contest, flat payout structure and insane condensed ownership. Like, I just play that every day. I do not mind doing that. I've identified there's an edge in that contest. I'm going to be playing it. You show me that there's some better way to deploy my volume, then I'm going to put it outside. That's why I look on Prize Picks and Underdog. And Kentucky just passed sports betting last week. So that'll probably be, by the end of the year, that'll probably be set up, or early next year or something. So I'll be spreading out my volume. Right, deploying my capital the best ways I can with the percentage of bankroll that I'm going to be playing. But so many people, it's like, I have a $2,000 bankroll. It's like, okay, so you're playing like $50 a slate, right? Spend the $50 in the best spots. Like, dude, there's no reason you shouldn't have, with $50, being able to get your money in with a 15 to 20% ROI. There's no reason. There's plenty of edge at that scale. If you told me, okay, I need to put $50,000 down, it's like, I don't know if you're going to find 15 to 20% ROI, like 3 to 5%, sure. Which is a lot more raw money when you're putting down 50 grand. Right? So you want to get up to that extent when you can take advantage of it. So many people get into this complacency of like, these are the contests I normally play. And or they either do one or the other. These are the contests that I normally play. And I'm just going to do it and not look elsewhere. That if this is the best way for me to deploy my capital. Or they switch it up like not because of edge, just because of like, I didn't do well in this last night, I'm going to try something else tomorrow. Not because there's an edge there, just because it's like, okay, I guess that sucks, but this is better. And then they ask, well, what are the best contests to play to me? And I'm like, the best contests are where the biggest edge, where you have the biggest edge that you could find. You know me, I've been playing the 3X to 5X contests. Triple ups, quintuple ups, three mans, five mans. I've been playing lineups that are like 8v8s off of people. That project for only like 4 points lower in projection. I'm playing five mans where, like, yesterday's slate. I mean, it didn't work out because Devers hit a home run, but like I played five games where Devers was in 80%, was all four of my opponent's lineups, right, out of a five man. And then they also had what was the lineup here? They also had Brandon Lowe, right? He put up a zero. They had Brandon Lowe. They had Devers. Will Smith, we were in some, depending on the lineup that you built. But like very similar, like my four opponents are sharing like five or six of the same exact players. And I just play eight different players. I mean, like, I'm typically sharing a little bit of pitcher, right? I think I had Brown and Cortez yesterday. I had Brown and Cortez in one lineup and then Cortez and Kirby in another lineup. Or Kirby and Brown or something like that. Because those lineups were kind of close. So playing two of those lineups and like, dude, like if I beat one line out of my four opponents, if I beat one out of my four, I probably beat all four of them because they're all sharing like three quarters of their lineup is the same lineup. So if I do better than one of them, I probably do better than all four of them. And I'm getting 5x my money or 4.5x my money. Say for triple ups, right? It's like playing a head-to-head where you're getting paid 3x. Because the two lineups that you're facing are very, very similar to one another. So there's an edge there. Right? So I take the $5 three-mans, $10 three-mans, five-mans, triple-ups, quintuple-ups. And I always check after every slate. I go, how similar were my opponent's lineups to one another? And I look at the correlation coefficients are insane. That my lineup is like not correlated to other than maybe pitcher. Is not is just has like little correlation to any of their lineups. When Matt Olson puts up two home runs like he did the other day, yeah, then you lose. Okay, I get it. Matt Olson's in all my opponents' lineups and I lose. But on the days that I win 3 to 5x. So it's like I need to win twice out of a week, twice a week. Right, 2 out of 7 days to be profitable. Right, so it's not going to be every day. I get paid more than I should. JJ asks, can you talk a bit about your 3x and 5x process in detail? Yeah, I could show you that. I could show you kind of the manual way. I could do it in Excel, but I will show you a manual way. Let me answer this other question first, because you just get your question, and this is kind of like a miscellaneous show, right? Email your questions in, questions@theoryofdfs.com. So we have stuff to talk about next week, right? Because tomorrow is going to be Grinders Live, and then Thursday Grinders Live, and then MMA on Friday. So there's really not going to be like me answering your questions type of stuff. David Buchanan says, EV Analytics adding Prize Picks now with their bat projections. Yes, I know they did. That's what I use. That's why I literally use that. I'll even show you on the screen. I didn't refresh it. Here is the EV Analytics, right, which uses the Derek Hardy's bat projections. You have to pay for this. And one of their screens, I mean, you have like line history. It's all of all this type of stuff. But they added Prize Picks to it. Now, before this, I would have to like have one screen with the bat. Like I would have this screen, right? Here's the bat statistical projections. For like pitchers or whatever. And you compare like hits allowed and K. I'd look at K. Bieber 6.22 and then compare it to what it is on Prize Picks. Right? A lot of times I would just download the CSV and just look at it in Excel. And I do have a scraper for Prize Picks that really doesn't work. It did work at a time, but I have to manually fix it so often that it's almost worthless to do. Right? So instead of going here and going, okay, Max Scherzer, 7.65. Okay, what does it say here? Right? And you go and you compare the lines to each other. Is Wesneski back up to 5 strikeouts? Let's see. Did Price Picks put Wesneski's line to back? Oh, let's see. Let's do a real time on the air. Let's see if you could do it. Okay, so I'm going to reload this. Prize Picks. Now, obviously, these lines sometimes move, and the projection also moves. So, yeah, Wesneski shows as you could sort this by expected value, which is, you know, just they could put pluses there. So, like, currently on Prize Picks, the under five is like the best one according to the bat projection currently. Obviously, if Cincinnati changes their lineup, maybe the projection goes up or down, right? So this implied projection, which is five at minus 137, right? So it's like the bat projection is 4.23. So this is good, right? This Vargas line doesn't exist anymore. Like, this is on the screen. It got scraped, obviously, but by EV Analytics, but it's not actually there. And some of these, yet like Nick Maton and Profar, the total bases ones are considered plus EV, but that's if they're batting first, right? This OL thing will show up when it's like the lineup order is confirmed. So if Jurison Profar bats eighth, like this won't be plus EV. So like this is only if he bats first, or at least towards the top of the order. Since I'm not sure about that, like I typically don't bet those. I don't make squares. On these until this. So I typically for Prize Picks, I'm typically looking for like two and up, right? These ones that are on the line, depending on how the projection changes, once the lineups come in, sometimes end up not being plus EV. Sometimes it ends up being more, but I'd be a little bit on Prize Picks, especially when you need to make these minus 137s, like the ones that are on the edge. I mean, you can, if you want to push it, but yeah, so I see here like Castillo under 7.5, Marquez under 4.5. And I already have the Marquez under 4.5. Because you can see here, like I eat my own dog food, right? I show you here, right? I already got the Wesneski less than 5, right, for $60. Marquez less than 4.5. Also have Alcantara here, right? Alcantara is no longer on here, but Alcantara, I think his line moved down to 6.5. Right. So it's not going to show here anymore because at 6.5, it's not plus EV anymore. At 7, it would be fine. Right. So let's see. Alcantara moved. Right. So I got CLV or whatever. I got this at 7. So we can see here, it's Castillo. What else is left on the board? Dodd is gone now. I think Dodd is down to 3.5. I got it at less than 4. So who do we have up? We still have Alcantara up. So I already have the Wesneski Marquez pairing. No, we have Castillo up. So that's what I'm going to do. So I'm just literally live on the air. Right? Wesneski less and Castillo less. I'll do a 60. Short 60, a 60 burger. There you go. There, that's in. Done. Right, deploying my capital, right? And all I'm doing is just comparing it to bat projections. That's it. Dude, I used to do it manually, but now that EV Analytics has this screen now, like, dude, this makes it so easy. Dude, I could look at, I've been out grocery shopping and just you look at it on my phone and go, okay, I haven't looked at this in 3 hours. Is there anything that stands out? And I go, oh, okay, oh, this projection moved or this line moved. It's like, okay. And I'm on my phone. And I'm like, okay, let me make 3 pairs of this. Right, $30 here, $30 there, $30 there. I'm done. I could probably even scrape this page. I could probably scrape this page and have it reload and have it get inserted into Excel. I probably could do that also. To make it even quicker. I can make it so that I get a notification when stuff happens. Like if I really wanted to, I would have this refresh. I mean, I would spin up an AWS instance or something and have this run like in the background. Like reload this page every 1 minute and then have it basically look for these icons and count the like I could do something like it counts the icons in a row. And then when it's 2 or more or something, send me a notification or something like that. I probably could. That may actually be a good idea to do to some extent. But I would also have to put in when it changes, right? Because I wouldn't want to every minute get a notification that it's like, oh, Wesneski under is there. Is a text message or something. And every minute get it because it's like, well, if it was already in the past one, don't send me a new one, right? There's all the logic that you have to put into that type of stuff. But that's what you could do. But this screen in and of itself is like a time saver for me also. So much better than looking here and then like calculating. It's like, is this enough of a discrepancy? It's like, well, there you go. Here you get percent difference line versus the bat, right? You get that right here. It makes it so much easier. Anything else in chat before I show the detailed process about the triple ups or whatever that I do? Solo asks, what pitcher hitter stats do you think are best for prop betting when using bat project? Whatever it is. Like, dude, I'm just like there, done. Any of them. I don't care. Right? Just show me the most plus EV ones. But just always remember with these total bases one, like it's all based on a projection that this is the projected batting order. And if Profar is batting eighth, like this projection is going to come down and it's not going to be plus EV anymore. Like Soto is less likely, right? Soto's unlikely to not bat second, right? But also there may be a weather thing. That's why like anything that's like this one thing, like this is much more subject to a you know, change in batting order, an umpire change or something like that. So later in the day, you'd be like, oh, Ronzi Contreras, oh, under four. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, his projection isn't 3.78 anymore. It's now 3.96. And then for Prize Picks purposes, it doesn't become plus EV anymore. So that's why I'd be careful on the margins. ANS Comedy, how do you know if you have an edge if you just started out? You don't. That's why you experiment. But remember, where does the money come from? The money comes from primarily of other people playing suboptimally. It's not about the brilliance of your own play. I want to get into contests with people that more clearly play suboptimally. And in those tiers contests, right? You could obviously tell in baseball that if you're playing a 10 man, but like a 100 man GPP, and 80% of people aren't stacking, like that's it's like, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to play, you know, a 4-2 lineup, a 3-3 lineup or something, like no matter what the two teams are, really. And then that's probably plus EV. It's not because you're not like you're brilliant. It's just that 80% of the people aren't playing the contest optimally. Bacon 23, how do you use projections with Prize Picks? Just taking fantasy points when there's a business discrepancy? Yes. Looking, all you're doing. This is, I could teach my 11-year-old nephew how to make money on prop betting. I'm just going to, and without knowing anything about baseball, all I'm going to do is say, here, I'm going to give you a link, and here's a link. These are called the statistical projections of the bat. And here are all these columns, right? Most of them you're not going to have to worry about because there's no props on them. And you go, okay, I want you to compare this column, the K column, to the K prop that you see on Prize Picks. And if it's a big difference, big enough difference, like then pick that. Pick the whatever the other side. That's it. That is it. Hayden Wisniewski, bat projection, 4.23. The over-under is 5. The difference between the implied projection and the bat projection is 20%. So that's an under. Done. It's done for you. You know, I mean, I could go to other sports. It doesn't matter. I already have an origination source. All I'm doing is comparing the origination source to the line. That's it. That's all it is. It's not complicated. I mean, there's literally no work for you to do other than clicking the buttons to, like I did before, and putting Wisniewski and Castillo together. That's it. Oh, it's right. Castillo, bat projection 6.8, fly projection 7.5. 10% difference, under. Give it to me. I have to pair it with something else. Let me pair it with another, the higher expected value one. Wisniewski, under 5. Okay, give it to me. Done. Move on with your life. A&S Comedy, do you think over time you have to worry about Prize Picks limiting action? Absolutely. I know plenty of people that are limited on Prize Picks. I'm either under the radar or for whatever reason. Because I'm doing a lot of round rock. I do, because unlike a lot of people that I know that are limited, that what they would do in the Wisniewski situation is that they would $500, right? They go 500 Wisniewski Castillo, right? They do that. And you do that enough times and you beat them, then they're going to be like, well, we're going to limit you to like $1,000 a day max in volume and more, no more than $100 on any player. Me, I'm getting, you know, a couple and I'm going 50, 60. And I'm some days I'll have $2,000-$3,000 because I have like 10 different props, but they're all round robin 30, 50, 80, 20, you know, all around. So maybe I'm just under the radar because individually my cards don't raise any red flags. I mean, I've already withdrawn plenty of money from Prize Picks. I haven't been limited. I mean, I'm limited to like four. I'm limited, I think, no more than 1,000 on a player and no more than 4,000 in a day. In a day in total volume, which I don't know if that's, is that a normal limit? I have no idea. But JJ wanted to talk about the 3X and 5X process. So basically what I do.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, is this okay? So here we go. So here are the bat projections. The car. I mean, we're just using this as an example, right? I always, right. So I'd look and I go, okay, what's the optimal lineup? 122.75. Okay, I'm gonna build 20 lineups. Okay, so I'm just gonna build 20 highest projected lineups. You know, just cash lineups, right? No, don't worry about stacks or nothing or just whatever, right? So I'm going to build the top 20. What's in the top? What players are in the top 20? Okay. And we see here, Guerrero's in all 20. Luis Castillo's in all 20. Framber Valdez is all 20. Lowe is in all 20. Okay. Now, what I will also do is I will get other projection sources from around the industry that I know other people look at, right? Some either use them totally, or they aggregate. So I will look at other, I will upload in this section projections from other places, right? And see what their top 20 looks like. So who's more likely to be, like, you know, in their lineups? And the first thing I would do with those projections is go, well, if is Vlad Guerrero in all 20 of their lineups? How many lineups? 18 out of 20. Well, the bat has him in 20 out of 20. this other source has him in 18 out of 20. This other source has him at 12 out of 20. It's like, most, I'm going to see a lot of Vlad Guerrero in cash games. And a lot of people put their cash lineup, the lineup that they play in head-to-heads and double-ups, also into triple-ups and quintuple-ups, also into three-mans and five-mans. They're playing the same lineup. So if I could predict what a lot of those lineups will look like and get paid 3 to 5X when I beat one of them, I probably beat most of them. I want to play a lineup. I don't want to play a lineup that projects 20 points lower, but I want to be as less correlative with that lineup as with those lineups as possible while giving up the least amount of projection as possible. So who am I most likely going to be sharing points with? Vlad Guerrero. So 122.75. You see that here? So I'm going to take him out. And now I'm going to run the bat projections without Vlad. The projection goes down, 121.37. Okay, so you lose about, a half a point in projection? Point and a half, a little over a point and a half in projection. How about Brandon Lowe if I get rid of him? I drop a point and a half or so in projection. Right? Dalton Varsho in 16 out of 20 lineup. If I get rid of him, I really don't drop that much at all. Right, 122.75 down to 121.98. So there you go. If Varsho is more likely to be in my opponent's lineups, I'm going to not play Varsho. I sacrifice a little bit in projection. So we have 122.75 is the optimal. How about if I get rid of Castillo, the pitchers? Typically, you have a much bigger drop. No, not that much of a drop. Right, 121, about a point. How about Valdez? Oh, much bigger drop. Right, I could get different by not playing Valdez, but I'm also dropping 3 points in projection. If I'm going to drop a lot in projection, I don't mind it as a hitter, but not as a pitcher. So probably I'm going to play Valdez. But Castillo, I don't think I have to play. If a lot of my opponents are going to have Castillo, I don't mind dropping another. So now I'm down to 120.76. With Scherzer and Valdez. I still got Lowe and Guerrero. If I get rid of Guerrero, I'm down to 120.07. Okay, so that isn't that bad, right? I only dropped, 0.7 in projection, and I'm getting rid of another player that's correlative with my opponent's lineups. So I'm down to 120.07. How about Brandon Lowe? Get rid of him. Well, I'm sacrificing almost 2 points in projection. So maybe I actually keep him. Right? And we take a look. Bobby Witt. If I find that Bobby Witt is going to be in a lot of my opponent's lineups, let's see. I get rid of him. 120 turns into 119.61. I'm fine with that. Okay, we got Dozier in here. Who else is going to be popular? Obviously, I'm just basing it on the bat projections here, but I'd be looking at the RG projections, at the insert competitor site projection, insert other competitor site projection. I'd aggregate all the projections together and see what the top 20 lineups look like for that. So I'm looking, it's like how much projection? Because right now I'm giving up about 3 points in projection. And I still got some popular. Let's see what happens. Low, it doesn't seem like low, I drop enough that, right? If I drop this. Yeah, I drop enough that maybe I can keep low, but get rid of two other players. So maybe Hunter Dozier. If he's going to be in a bunch of lineups, right? Right? 118.92. Okay, I don't mind that. Danny Jansen. Tyler O'Neill. Let's say if you get rid of Tyler O'Neill, you don't sacrifice that much at all. Okay. If I get rid of Danny Jansen. 117. Okay, that isn't that bad either. Right? And there you go. I mean, like I don't think I could get rid of low. Right. I'm at 117.99, which is essentially 4.75 points in projection difference. If I get rid of low, I could if I wanted to. Valdez. 117.99. If I get rid of Valdez, yeah, I drop way too much. Right. So there you go. And then I'd be like, okay. I'm probably going to share Lowe with a lot of lineups and share Valdez with a lot of lineups. But it's Scherzer's going to be in less lineups because people will be playing Castillo, right? I'm going to see Lowe in a bunch of lineups. Okay, so I'm fine with that. Springer, not as many. Franmil Reyes comes up enough that maybe out of five opponents, maybe me and one other opponent have Reyes. But Lane Thomas, I'm probably the only one with Lane Thomas. I may be the only one with Matt Chapman and Luke Rayleigh. People are playing Jansen and I'm playing Kirk, right? So it's like, I'm essentially kind of like maybe a 7v7 off of most of my opponent's lineups. And I've sacrificed 4.5 points, 4.7 points to do so. When I get paid 3 to 5x, when I beat the lineups that kind of look the same. And there you go. I would choose to play this lineup. 117.99. 118. Now, to reduce variance, I'm going to try to find another lineup around 100, 118 that shares less with this lineup. Right? So I'm not as correlated. So maybe I am going to play Vlad Guerrero in the other lineup, but just with different other people. Right? So this is 117. So I'd save this lineup. Right? Let's save that lineup. That would be lineup number one. So now I'm looking for another lineup around 118, right? This is 117.99. I probably can't fade Valdez or Lowe. So I'm probably still playing Valdez and Lowe in the other lineup. And I'll go back and I'll include everyone back again. Right, everyone's back. Right, we get back to the optimal, 122.75. Right. Now I'm going to take a look and go, okay, well, this is with Kirk and I had Kirk in the other lineup, right? We take a look at save lineups. So maybe I don't want to play Kirk in this lineup. Franmil Reyes was popular, right? So maybe I'm not going to play Franmil Reyes. Do I want to put that much into Lane Thomas on this slate? Probably not. Luke Rayleigh, maybe not. Right. These cheap hitters, right? I still got Vlad. Maybe I fade Vlad also in this line. I got Winker, Varsho, O'Neill, Bobby Witt, Dozier. Right? I'm basically just excluding people until, like, maybe I play a Castillo-Valdez lineup without Vlad. I got Tellez in there. Okay, I don't have Tellez in the other lineup. Varsho, Springer, O'Neill. Maybe I don't play Springer because it's in the other lineup. Right? I'm doing this for diversification purposes. This is only to reduce variance because I could probably find a lineup at 118 that is also like a 6v6 off of the other lineups that also don't share as many players with the lineup that I currently have, that I had before, right? So Yepes is in this lineup. Jansen, Yepes, Castillo Valdez, 120.59. We can go lower than this, right? We didn't have Alvarez, right? And the other, maybe get rid of Witt. Again, also, right? You got Dozier, Bichette. Do I have Bichette in this lineup? Yeah, maybe get rid of Bichette. What else is here? Right, I got Corey Seager in this lineup. Varsho, O'Neill. Maybe get rid of Varsho because, I mean, you're still trying to not be as correlative with your opponent's lineups. I'm going to get rid of Varsho. 118.75. I got Chapman in here. I have Chapman in the other lineup, so maybe let's see if I can find another third baseman. 118.63. Seager, Merrifield, O'Neill, Alvarez, Danny. Maybe I don't play Jansen either. Get another catcher in there. Sal Perez. 117.58. Tyler Walls, Dozier. Maybe let's put Jansen back in. You give up a lot of points and projection for Jansen, right? Yeah. Maybe get rid of Dozier. Let's see. Tellez, Lowe, Edmund, Sawinski, O'Neill, Alver. Yeah, this looks pretty good. Like, take a look at this lineup. 118.19. I still need to play Valdez and Lowe because I dropped too much in projection for those. But now I got Castillo in this lineup. And I mean, I'm not sharing like anyone with the other line. I mean, look, 118.19. Yeah, some of these guys are going to be in my opponent's lineups, but not all of them, right? O'Neill's going to be decently enough popular. Maybe I could get rid of O'Neill. 117, yeah. I'm looking for something around 118, which is similar to the other lineup. So here, I would save this lineup. And there you go. Here's my two lineups. The only thing that shares the difference, even between the two lineups, is Lowe and Valdez. And these would be the two lineups that I would play in three-mans, five-mans, triple-ups. And, dude, if you wanted to play a third lineup and just find one at the same, you know, 118-ish, maybe that one doesn't have O'Neill and has Springer in it. And does, I mean, just whatever. This is more to reduce variance. It's like this lineup is probably just as good as that lineup. Instead of having all my eggs in one basket, is that once you start sacrificing 4 or 5 points in projection, you can find so many combinations of players. Right? Together. So there you go. That would be, I'm showing literally what I do. Right? I could also do a version of this in Excel. A lot of times for many slaves, the one that I, the manual way of doing it is actually quicker. Right? So I could literally just do it this way. I mean, I'm like, if the slate started 12 minutes from now, and these were the actual projections, right? We had the starting lineups in and everything. Umpire data's in and the weather data's changed and every, you know, whatever. We're using the actual numbers. This is something I'd be doing 10 minutes before lock. Like, this is literally what I do. This is literally. There you go. Done. If you don't want to use the bat projections, you whatever projection source of truth, use the aggregate projection. Whatever you want. Whatever numbers you're using. Just find lineups. Now, obviously, I'd have other projections in here. Because if I see, oh, Jack Sawinski is in this competitor's site and in every all 20 lineups, like, I'm probably not going to play Jack Sawinski. Jack Sawinski would be part of the cutoff list. So you can see here, it's like I'm playing a lineup that's 4 points or so, 4.5 points, lower projected, that, like, has none, like, doesn't have, like, anyone. Right? If we go back... Right? We go back to include everyone. Right? It doesn't have, neither lineup has Guerrero or Dozier or Witt or Varsho in it. One has Reyes, but not with O'Neill. Right? I don't think, neither have Dozier in it. Kirk's in one, but not with Varsho and not with Guerrero and not with Castillo. Right? There you go. You could probably make within a 117 to 118 point projection, 118 and a half point projection, you could probably make 50 different lineups that are 6v6s, 5v5s, 8v8, whatever it is. You can make certain lineups without Valdez. Just that in the non-Valdez lineups, you probably have to play Vlad. Right? Right, if you start getting rid of Valdez and Castillo, your projection, once it gets down to 118, you're just left with all the chalk batters. And from a macro perspective in MLB, because of, you know, pitcher distributions are much more normal than batter distributions. Like, if I'm going to share players with a lot of my opponents, it's probably going to be the ones that are normally distributed than the ones that are bimodally distributed. And if Vlad puts up 2 home runs, if he puts up 24 points, I mean, dude, I could even come back from that. I mean, like, I've, it's not like I'm not sharing that many players with everyone else. So it almost feels like you got like 6 shots at a ceiling. It's like you may have 6 players in your lineup in a 5-man that you're the only one with all 6 of those players. So it's like, oh, if one does bad, but the other one puts up, you know, 22 points, like it makes up for it because no one else has those points either. So even if Vlad puts up 16, I mean, that, okay. I could come back for that. 2 home runs, a little tough for that. But if Vlad puts up 0, and Witt puts up 0, and Varsho puts up 0, it's like, dude, like, every lineup that I'm competing against has all 3 players in it. It's like, it makes it easy. Anus Comedy asks, do you consider ranges of outcomes at all in this process, or do you rely solely on median? If I simulate it in Excel, I could use the full range of outcomes, but no, I just median for cash contests. You're dealing with medians anyway, when you're dealing with cash, right? GPPs, that's when it matters more. I'm using the medians just so I could play a high median. I want to play a high median lineup that shares the least amount of people with everyone else's high median lineups. They're playing the high median. They're using medians also to build their lineups. So I'm fine with that. Doug Montgomery asks, what about stacking? It's not a GPP. The goal is to not increase the variance of your lineup. My goal in 3X to 5X contests, where my opponents will be playing similar lineups to one another, is just be combinatorically different from that lineup with as high of a projection as possible. That's it. About stacking, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant to me. These aren't progressive payout contests. I'm not looking to increase the variance of my lineup on purpose. Corey Jefferson, if you're 20, 25 max entry, how many pet pitchers would you use? I'd use whatever pitchers would fit in the lineups that are plus EV. I would suggest going back and watching DFS pregame shows. Or you can email your question at questions@theoryofdfs.com. Because there's no correct answer to that question. And I would say in the past, the fact that you're asking a question that has an exact number that could be answered like that means that you're asking a stupid question. Anything else? What are we going to title this show? I don't know. I don't know. Miscellaneous questions. I mean, we talked about prize picks and triple up process. Maybe. Is that? I mean, that's the two main things we talked about, right? Prize picks, right? Prize picks or prop betting stuff, right? Comparing the numbers and projections to the lines. Welcome to sports betting. That's what it is. Then when you're playing contests where you know that your opponents will be playing similar lineups, as discussed in the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports, especially the Advanced Players course, about duplication and combinatorics, the more your opponents are duped, maybe not the full lineup, but combinations of players are duped, that negatively affects their EV. How do you take advantage of it? By not having those combinations. The more and more they dupe parts of their lineup with each other, the more and more they're lowering their EV because they're reducing the relative value of their lineup. Because the points that they get are also being shared by multiple other people. Now, in double ups and head-to-heads, where it's not... You don't get anything extra. You're just trying to beat one lineup. Like there's no negative effect. If you're playing a 10-man 50-50, the only time that you have a negative EV effect is if you're duplicating with more than half the contest with your full lineup. Outside of that, you'd want to play the highest median projected lineup. But in a contest that's a triple up that pays out of 10, pays the top three. Now they pay the top three the same amount. It's not 50, 30, 20. It's just, 30, 30, 30, right? The top three get paid the same amount. Duplication hurts you. If four people dupe the same lineup exactly, that's a disaster. Right, because now you can't even get a full 3X payout because you come in first, second, third, and fourth are also the same lineup. The same thing happens if you come in third. You're splitting third four ways, right? Duplication. Once you get past that 50-50, right, that 1.8x, 1.2x payout, now duplication is hurting you more and more and more and more. If your opponents have no problem because they're taking their lineups from head-to-heads, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 worth of lineups, right? Worth of entries. And they're like, I'm taking this one lineup, putting $10,000 into it, and I'm playing all these head-to-heads, all these double-ups, all these triple-ups, all these quintuple-ups, all these small-field GPPs, all these whatever. It's like, they're not paying attention to your $5 three-man, your $10 three-man, or anything like that. They're just getting volume down. They're just like, they know they're seeding EV in these little spots, but overall, they're making enough raw money that the difference between a 3.4% ROI and a 3.1% ROI, they're not going to waste the time. They know they could. They go, okay, I got to go and individually go through all these five bands and 10 and three. They're not doing that. But you could just swipe in and go, this is what I noticed from all these, you know, regs in the lobby. And go, okay, I'm just going to swoop in and just, you know, I mean, typically I'm playing like $500 a lineup with both of these lineups, $500 each. And based on my EV calculation, like this should generate a 15%+ ROI. It should over the long run, which is amazing, which is great. Which is not as good as large field GPPs, but large field GPPs, the swings are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. So it's like, I think this is an easier way for me to accomplish the same amount of raw money and have it not be swingy. That by the end of the year, I've made 20 grand, 30 grand. And not have it be that I lost a lot and then until I won 50 grand in one contest. Which is normally what I would do, right? That's typically what happens in the past. Now you lose 94% of slates to the couple that you win and you get 10 grand, 50 grand or something. And that pays for everything and then gets your profit. Then at the end of the year, you're up 30 grand. It's like, okay, that's nice. Yeah, but it's a lot of like 2 months of like just nothing but losing practically. Like if I could get to the same place by finding this edge and doing this, why the hell not? Not as sexy, not as glamorous. But what do I care about sexy or glamorous? I care about making money. Okay, hit the thumbs ups, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button on your way out the door. If you got any questions, email them in. Questions@theoryofdfs.com. And I'll be covering them next week, right? I'll always email you back, even if you're not watching the show or listening on the podcast feed or anything. Like if I cover your topic because I have past ones, because I try to bunch similar ones together, I will always email you back and say, hey, cover this on today's show. So even if you didn't watch today or whatever, right, we try to title them as good as we can. So maybe I answer your question a week and a half from now. But you weren't tuned in. It's like I'll email you back and say, hey, dude, covered. Check out today's show. There, I covered your question. So email them. Questions@theoryofdfs.com. We do got NBA today. We remember, tomorrow, MLB Grinders Live Wednesday. MLB Grinders Live Thursday. They're early slates. I will be on with Dean to discuss the actual slates. And then Friday we'll go over the UFC pay-per-view card. And then the show keeps on rolling, right? Because I'm here answering your questions. DFS questions, right? Not your life questions, not relationship advice or anything, but your DFS strategy questions. That's what I do here. 11 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Friday. Most Monday through Fridays. Not tomorrow. And not Thursday, because we're preempted by Grinders Live. But normally Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern, on the DFS pregame show on rotogrinders.com.